we're starting this new series about frequently asked questions, and we have taken over the summer some time to sort of cull out some questions that people are having, and then we put a sort of a little poll out there, and then pulled together some of the questions that were more frequently asked than others. And so hopefully over the course of September, we can draw some conclusions and maybe find some answers to the questions that we've had. And as I compiled the results, there sort of came some themes that came out. People were basically asking questions about practically speaking, how do I, kind of like this, how do I adult and still love Jesus? You know, because adulting can be hard sometimes. Even childrening can be hard. But how can I just make through life and still love Jesus? And we seem to be pretty hungry for practical applications of life. How to budget time and how to handle stress and how to raise kids and things like that. So we're gonna get into those things, and you can see a schedule at the bottom of one of the sheets we put out. There's a schedule for coming up, but those practical things. I remember one of our home groups one time, somebody basically said something along the lines of this, like, how do we get our kids to bed on time and still love Jesus? Like, it's impossible to do both. Like, I just turn into this different person. So we're going to try to talk about some of those things. But this series is for people who ask those questions and for the people who know people who ask those questions. And hopefully you can help those people out with that. It's going to be a practical series, but today maybe not so practical, because I want to have some theological understanding. The basic question of this one is not very practical. Basically, why do bad things happen to good people? It's not a very practical question. It doesn't get us too far along, practically speaking. But it is something that people ask. But before we can ask that, I think we have to ask this question, because there's sort of a line of thinking as things go on. And the first question people might ask is God real? Or is there a God? That's the first one. Is God real? And then you can start to ask other questions. But I'm going to assume, since you came to a Christian church this morning to willingly, maybe some of you aren't so willingly, but most of you came willingly. I didn't force you to come here today. And you came to hear a pastor speak. I'm going to assume that you're not wrestling with, is God real? All right, so if you think God's real, let's get that baseline down. Okay, all right. Everybody says God's real. Now let's ask the next question. If God is real, then why is there suffering? That's the next thing. Okay, well, if God's real, then why is there suffering in the world? If there's a God, then how come God lets suffering happen, bad things happen? And that's the number one question that people ask, would ask God, actually, if they were given the chance. Why is there so much pain and suffering? And so I've heard the question put this way, why do bad things happen to good people? And it's good things happen to bad people too, and that's frustrating too for some of us who are good people and bad things are happening to us. But the oftentimes Christians, well-meaning Christians who love Jesus and everything, will say, well, everything happens for a reason. That's the next step that we take. Well, everything happens for a reason. And so I want to kind of cover those two topics today. Why is there suffering, and does everything happen for a reason? So if we ask, why is there suffering in the world, then we should ask, why is there suffering? We should look at different types of suffering. And if you want to follow along, there's a note sheet on the back of the announcement sheet. If you want to follow along, there's different types of suffering. And the first one is self-inflicted suffering. Self-inflicted suffering is suffering that happens because we made a dumb mistake, or we made a poor choice, or something happens and it was just, we caused it, you know. We shut our finger in a door, you know. Well, we should have pulled our finger out of the door. Or, you know, Surgeon General warns us on the cigarette pack, you could get cancer from this if you go ahead and smoke this, and then we still do it. So those are things. There's consequences for our actions. It's self-inflicted suffering. God forgives us, but doesn't take away the consequences. Next one is suffering inflicted by other people. Now, we do suffer because of the actions of other people. They'll make a decision. They'll do something that's against us. People who use their free will to harm us and destroy others. So God doesn't really want child abusers and Hitlers of the world, but he does give humanity the freedom of choice. So there is suffering as a result of other people. Here's another one, the third one. Injustice related to poverty in the third world. Liz, you're probably going to see some of this as you go through your travels. It's a huge problem that we have in our world. People are hungry. Entire nations are starving. The Sudan's been going through drought for decades. Why does God let this happen? That's what people say. Why does this kind of suffering happen? Here's another one. Suffering as a result of natural disasters. Hey, these things happen. The insurance industry, what do they call these things? An act of God. Yeah, an act of God. A flood comes through, a lightning strikes, whatever happens, an insurance doesn't cover that stuff. Here's another one, physical illness. That's the kind of suffering that people had. Our bodies were created for perfection, and yet we still get sick. People die. Our bodies aren't meant to live forever. And here's the last one, just tragic disasters of every kind. Car accidents. Sometimes people just make mistakes. Horrible accidents. About last weekend, I didn't know it till after worship was over, but three young ladies in the Licking Valley area had a terrible accident. One of them passed away. Families just, lives are completely altered, forever changed, because it was an accident. So why does God allow that kind of suffering to happen? Now, who will testify by raising your hand that you've experienced one or more of those types of suffering? You've had that. I've had them too. So we have suffering. These things happen. Stuff happens in life. But the next thing that we naturally ask is why? Why? It's the question that's asked at every funeral just about, unless the person has died of natural causes late in life. We ask why? Why does this happen? And then we Christians, we say what? Everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. That's what we like to say. We like to say that because it helps us explain why bad and crappy things happen in life. Another one that sort of corresponds with the idea is that good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people. Why? Why do they happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, everything happens for a reason, is what we say. And it's been a popular saying going back millennia, back to the Greek philosophers, Aristotle and those guys, Plato. It's truly an effort to explain bad things happening in life. In John chapter 9, the disciples and Jesus, they encounter a man who has been born blind. He was born blind, so he's blind all of his entire life. And the disciples ask Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, so that he's born blind?" They're looking for a reason. They're saying, "Why did this bad thing happen to this reasonably good person? Somebody must have sinned. There must be some explanation for this. Somebody had to sin for it." The people at that time, they'd had that philosophy. You did bad things came back to you or to your children. Conversely, if you did good things, then good things would happen to you. So does that sound familiar to you? If you do bad things will happen to you. You do good things will happen to you. It's an ancient Near East philosophy that's been carried over to our time today. What do we call it? Karma. Yeah, karma. We have a karma in the house today. I don't know, and your mom's here, so it's all good, karma, we love you. So those things have been going on for a long time, do good, get good back, do bad, get bad back. So the disciples asked Jesus basically about karma without knowing what the word was, who sinned, and Jesus responded with this, neither this man nor his parents sinned. And then I'm going to get to the rest of Jesus' answer later on, but for now, let's settle this. The dude wasn't blind because of sin, neither his nor his parents' sin. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus is giving his disciples a list of rhetorical questions. And one thing he mentions is a local disaster that happened in Jerusalem. A tower had fallen. 18 people died. And he says in verse 4, "Or those 18 people who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others in Jerusalem? I tell you no," he says. "But unless you repent, you too will perish." He's saying, look, everybody in Jerusalem is as guilty as one another, but that tower just happened to fall on those people's, not because of, in particular, their sin over anybody else's. Look at our history as a nation, or even throughout the world. We could give you dozens and dozens of examples of disasters that have happened. People have died, and people go, why? Think back to 2005, if you were alive back then. Here in the United States, Hurricane Katrina struck the Gulf Coast. It was 1,800 people that passed away with 175 mile per hour winds, 20-foot storm surge, flooded miles inland, caused $108 billion worth of damage. I was there right after the storm doing a mission trip, and I know some others probably in the room maybe were too. Amazing disaster. They're still recovering from it 13 years later. Well, people were searching for reasons why. Why did that happen? How could this awful thing have occurred? Because everything must have a reason. And some good Christians said some things that I think were deeply harming to our faith. Pat Robertson said, it happened because of abortions. Yeah, that's what he said. Hurricane Katrina happened because of abortions. Hal Lindsey said, that was the beginning of America's judgments for her sins. Chuck Colson said, it was so we could return our focus on the war on terror and win it. And then John Hagee blamed homosexuals, because everything happens for a reason. And here's the problem. When we say everything happens for a reason, we're saying that God caused blank, you fill in the blank, all right? God caused this thing to happen so that blank, so that I will learn this, or so that we can win a war on terror, or so that whatever. God caused this so that. And here's with the problem with that philosophy as I see it, then we're saying that God causes these disasters to happen. God causes the auto accidents to happen. God causes the cancer to happen. And two, the second problem with it, and God has a reason that I don't know, and I've got to go figure it out. You know, there's some mysterious reason there that only God knows, but I've got to sit here and find out what it is. And we get into some theological and philosophical disagreement among Christians at this point. So if we're saying that God does not cause those things to happen, then we're questioning God's sovereignty. Okay, that's a big, big Christian word there. There's a theological camp that places God's sovereignty above anything and everything else, and they say that God causes everything to happen, that everything is prescripted, everything is foreordained to happen exactly as it happened, and that is God's will for it to happen that way. Think of it like dominoes. I really like watching dominoes fall, like, you know, and they set up the whole little thing, you know, and I don't know. I think those are cool. But I don't have the patience to set all those things up, nor do I have the grace to not knock one down before I'm done, you know, and it's just like, you know, the whole thing would be done before I actually get them all set up. But I think they're really cool. But I don't think that God is the domino maker where he sets everything up and it's got to fall exactly as it is meant to be from the beginning of time, dispassionately making everything happen and fall in its place. Because I believe, we'll get to it, but I think there is choice in the matter. Now, I think God knows everything that will happen. And we're going to talk more about that next week when we talk about hashtag goals versus hashtag God's will. But even with the sovereign God, God does not dispassionately set the order in motion and carry with it no intervention. Okay, there's a key right there. God does not dispassionately set up the order of things the way it will happen with no intervention. Nor does God painstakingly set up every domino in your life or in my life so that we have no choice in how our life will progress. And the other resulting problem with the phrase, everything happens for a reason, is that God has the reason, and we're left to our own devices to figure it out. So each person who will go through some sort of suffering, some sort of pain, some sort of difficult circumstance, and will say, everything happens for a reason, I just have to figure out what it is, and we just need to be patient and figure out what it is. And sometimes we'll take it to the next level and we'll say, I got to figure out what this is so I don't go through it again. I don't want to go through this again, so I better figure out what God's trying to teach me with my shingles and my gallbladder and my appendix, You know, like, man, I must be pretty thick-headed if he's got to do all that to me in order to wake me up. But we must not assume that God causes or directs those terrible experiences to take place so that we would learn something about God and ourselves, and that we would have to figure it out on our own, not knowing what the lesson is until we learn it and it's been revealed to us. So the first kind of suffering that I mentioned was self-inflicted suffering. Things that we do that bear natural consequences. Now, those are lessons that we can learn in the immediate. We can't blame God for them because we inflicted that suffering on ourselves. We caused it ourselves. I once learned a $135 lesson on Memorial Weekend because I was in a hurry on a state route. I got a ticket. I was speeding on a ticket. And one of the best ways for us to learn about God or about situations or learn about ourselves is to go through an experience. Very seldom can we just read about something or observe something in other people's lives and then really get that lesson on our own. It's difficult to learn from other people. We can learn better by ourselves. We need to have an experience to have a breakthrough. I've heard of people getting speeding tickets before, but I never knew what it was like until a few years ago. And now I can empathize with people who get speeding tickets more effectively. And I also learned that I can control my speed, especially on holiday weekends such as this one. But did God give me a speeding ticket so that I would slow down? No. Or did God give me a speeding ticket so that I could empathize with others when they get a speeding ticket? Oh, I'm so sorry. I've been there with you. I know what it's like to get a speeding ticket. No. I got a speeding ticket because I was breaking the law. And there happened to be a statey sitting on the other side of the hill where I've never seen one before. It's called sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. Here's that thing. You reap what you sow, Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Cause and effect, natural consequences. These are the things that happen within our lives because of choices and decisions that we make and circumstances that we find ourselves in. So yes, the dominoes will fall however the dominoes will fall, but when we look back in the rearview mirror of life, we might even be able to see exactly how the dominoes got set up along the way to get to the point where we are now. But I don't believe that God preordained and orchestrated my decision to speed that day. That was a choice that I made. I don't believe that God orchestrates everything exactly as it is so that you and I would learn a lesson or make a certain decision. I sow, I reap. You sow, you reap. But God can redeem our sowing and reaping. God can and does redeem our sowing. Under that principle of you reap what you sow, if we sow bad and reap bad, or better yet, if we're on the receiving end of someone else's sowing badly, God can redeem the bad things that we have done and turn them for good. For instance, the story of Jacob comes to mind. Joseph. Joseph was sold in slavery by his brothers and then falsely imprisoned. And then he ended up saving his entire family and, in fact, the entire region in Egypt from famine. And at the end of his life, Joseph concludes, what man meant for evil, God meant for good, because God redeemed it. It's an amazing testimony that when God can redeem our story, the bad things that we've done or the bad things that have happened to us along the way, that God can redeem those things and turn the bad sowing into an amazing harvest of reaping. And that brings us back to the man who was born blind in John chapter 9. And let me read it to you. It says, as he passed by, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man born blind. He was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, it's not the man that sinned or his parents. But here's the real answer. But that the works of God might be displayed in him. And God, through Jesus Christ, chooses to intervene in this man's life to bring healing, to bring redemption to his life story, to bring glory now to God. Nobody sinned to cause the man to be born blind. God did not cause the man to be born blind. He was not born blind because of anything specific that had happened, except that we live in a fallen and broken world, and quite frankly, those things happen. Stuff happens in the womb sometimes. Kids are born blind. Kids are born with struggles and difficulties. I have a cousin who was born with cerebral palsy. It's nothing. He didn't do anything to deserve that. My Aunt Claudia didn't do anything to deserve that. It just happens. Car accidents happen. People who smoke sometimes get lung cancer, sometimes they don't. People who don't smoke sometimes do get lung cancer. We lose jobs. We lose houses. People rob us. We get sick. Things happen to us, and the world is a mess at sometimes. The design was flawless, but then sin entered in the world, and it's made a mess of things. But God can intervene, and he does intervene. Why? It's exactly what Jesus said, so that the works of God might be displayed in us. God can redeem those crappy situations that we have in life to bring glory to himself. And that's, if we're going to say everything happens for a reason, that has to be it every time. That has to be the reason, to bring glory to God. God didn't cause the man to be born blind. God used the man's situation to bring glory to himself. God does not cause suffering to bring glory to himself, but God can intervene in situations to bring glory to himself. So we say everything happens for a reason. It's because we're searching for some sort of meaning to come out of a difficult circumstance. We're looking for something that we can learn and grow from. We're trying to find the big why for that thing. And I think it's okay to find that redemptive reason, to be a part of the redemptive process. You know, if your life has been spared of like an awful disease or something, or you've witnessed something horrific, then use your life now with new purpose and redeem that situation. Reach for the stars, because now you know, I only have one life to live. I might as well go out and live it to bring glory to God. But never ever accuse God of robbing life from someone else to teach you a lesson. People say that their loved one died and everything happens for a reason. And really the only lesson for us to learn is to live life with new purpose. Live life with new meaning. God doesn't cause those things to happen in order for us to learn those things. And this kind of brings us back around to the beginning, where the heart of the question was, if there is a God, then why does God allow suffering? And at the heart of it, that question probably is really this question: why doesn't God choose to intervene more often? Why doesn't God choose to intervene? We're with it now. Yeah, God doesn't just cause suffering, maybe allow suffering. Yeah, we have free choice. There's different kinds of suffering. God doesn't cause them, but why doesn't he intervene more often? That's probably a better question. Why doesn't God intervene more often? He does intervene, but not always. I think the answer is because he cares. God cares, and we matter. We matter to God. C.S. Lewis has a lesser-known set of books called Perelandra, where he envisions the planet that we call Venus as a habitable planet, and he starts his book off. It's actually a trilogy of books, it's three books. He starts off with a new Adam and Eve, that God has brought in a new creation, a new humanity to Perelandra, which is Venus, like I said. And so they're getting started, but a scientist from Earth comes, and he discovers this Adam and Eve, and he's a believer in Jesus. And then a couple days later, another scientist comes from Earth who's not a believer, and he also discovers this new Adam and Eve. And the scientist who comes later, not a believer, he does nothing but tempt Adam and Eve to sin. He wants to see this great human experiment replay. And so he's tempting them to sin. Meanwhile, the believing scientist, he's praying, God, spare them, God, intervene for them, God, God, do something for this Adam and Eve so they don't sin. And he's really just crying out to God to fix this situation so that sin would not fall upon this Adam and Eve like it has here on earth. And finally, God says to the scientist, I already have intervened. I sent you. I sent you. We see countless examples of God using people to intervene every day. Think about hospitals. Someone saw a need at some point 100 years ago, or however old Licking Memorial is, to put a hospital in this place in Newark because there were people who were sick. They saw a need. They found a way to start helping people who were in need, who were sick. Schools. Someone interrupted their own life to teach children and young adults the skills they need to survive in life. People have been doing that sort of intervention in a long time. Christians have been doing good things, meeting the needs of people and solving people's problems since right after Jesus ascended into heaven. God has been using us to intervene on his behalf since that point and even longer. But what if God solved all the medical issues in our town 100 years ago and we never needed a hospital? What if God gave us, just downloaded all the information that we needed to make life happen without school? I think that would be so awesome if he would just like put a memory stick in. You know, I got a little USB port in my head. What if God solved all the problems of life without using people? What if God sent a lightning bolt to just fix all of our problems, solve all of our mistakes all the time? What if God would just magically fix those tires when they go flat when we're out on the road? What if God let all of us to do all the good things that we wanted to do, but when suddenly we were ready to take our step and do something bad, that God just prevented us and intervened to not let that thing happen right there on the spot? If that was the case, then I don't think we would matter. We would no longer matter. We would not have any reason to do good. We wouldn't have any reason to see a need. We wouldn't have any reason to help anybody because we knew God would just take care of it for us. We wouldn't have to do it anymore. We just assume that God would handle it like he always does, and we wouldn't matter anymore. But we matter because God uses us to intervene, to see a need, to help when we can. Tom Gilson said this right after the Parkland shooting in February, in Florida last February. He says, wouldn't the world be a better place if God didn't leave so much up to us? We fail. We sin. We can't do what we should. Sometimes we do what we know we shouldn't. And wouldn't the world be a better place if God would just stop every Nicholas Cruz out there and keep them from doing any evil that they plan to do? I don't think so. Not at all. In a world like that, we wouldn't make any difference. We wouldn't matter. God made us so our choices matter. He designed us to change the lives of others. He created us to make a difference in the world. And that's a crucial part of being human, because we have responsibility. And so while we can't blame God for the causes of all the suffering in our world, we can wonder why God doesn't intervene, until we recognize most of the time we're the ones sent to do the intervening. But think back to the original list of types of suffering that we had at the beginning. Let's look at each one, at how God would intervene. We talked about self-inflicted suffering. God is not responsible for our choices that harm ourselves. We make a choice that harms ourselves. Well, why is that God's fault? God does not take away the consequences of our actions. Secondly, suffering inflicted by other people. What's God's alternative? If God would stop all the suffering inflicted by other people, then we have no choices to make. We have no choices to do the wrong thing. The consequence of our freedom is that sometimes our choices go wrong, and we're not moral robots. We can choose either way. We have the capacity to choose our own destiny, the capacity to do good, the capacity to do evil. God has given us how he wants us to live through the Bible. He's given us the pattern, the model through Jesus Christ. But he's also given us the freedom to do it, to choose it. It's up to us how we exercise it. Randy Alcorn writes, "If God disarmed every shooter and prevented every drunk driver from crashing, this would not be a real world in which people make consequential choices. In such a world as that, people would die without a sense of need, only to find themselves in hell, because we matter. Would you rather have the ability to choose only to be right?" There's consequences in the freedom, and sometimes people choose wrong. The third one was injustice related to poverty in the third world. This is more about, you know, we say, well, why does God let entire nations go hungry? But this isn't about God's ability to produce. Production is fine. It's on our part of distributing. Our distribution is poor. There's enough food to feed everybody in the world. There's enough material to make clothing for everybody in the world. There's enough ability to make houses for everybody in the world. It's not God's fault that entire nations are going hungry. We're not doing well at distributing our resources. I think instead of asking, why does God let this happen? Probably God is asking, why do we let this happen? God's provided for all of our needs. We need to help. The fourth one was suffering as a result of natural disasters. Lightning bolts don't come from God's fingertips. And God does not blow from his lips to make the wind happen. Rain is not God's teardrops. God does not specifically cause these events to happen, but God designed them into the system of the world. And the good things far outweigh the bad. Those things that make mountains, those are fault lines, and earthquakes happen. You know, people build their houses on. You know, the Mississippi River floods every year. It's just, everybody should know, if you're going to live along the Mississippi River, at some point, your basement's going to be flooded and maybe your house taken away. You know, it's just, that's natural disaster. Does God intend for us to build on those things? Well, we just need to take it with it. Tragic disasters of every kind. That was the fifth one. Auto accidents. Sometimes we just make mistakes. When you hit a power line, you're probably going to die. God is not an insulator, okay? God is not a braking system on a car. God is not the one who does the final systems check on an airplane when you get on the airplane. If you don't want to risk it, then don't go out. Everything has risk. Physical illnesses. Our bodies are not perfect. God designed the body, but it is subject to change, and things can go haywire. Our bodies aren't made of steel. We break. Many people want God to be a giant CAT scan in the machine, you know, in the sky, where he's just like examining every cell of every body every time to protect us from disease. But God doesn't work that way. Here's what God does do. He holds us when we get the news that we have cancer. He comforts us when we find out that we have a loved one that's going to die. And he redeems those experiences even before they're over. Look, we all believe that God is real and exists. Everybody raise their hand for that. But we know that things go poorly sometimes and suffering happens. God doesn't cause those things to happen so that you will learn something. But God can redeem it to reveal his glory. And you might learn something along the way. God isn't about the limitation of our free will and our choice, remembering that we will reap what we sow. But he does comfort us when we reap what other people sow. And then finally, God expects us to intervene on his behalf. We bear some responsibility for bringing in the glory of God into other people's lives. So bad things do happen to good people. And there's not always a mystical reason for it. We just need to pray for God's direction, protection, and intervention and blessing in the midst of it. Now, you yourself might be in the period of suffering that happens from time to time. And you might be looking for the big why among all the things and circumstances and problems, and it's okay to search, but just remember that God did not cause those terrible things to happen so that you will find that reason, so that you will learn that lesson. God can redeem those terrible circumstances, even the nasty consequences of your own choices. But it's up to you to love and trust in Him and allow yourself to feel the comfort and the hope that is found only in Him. Let us pray. God, we thank You that we can experience Your presence and Your love in the midst of terrible circumstances. And help us to stay away from that trap that is to blame You for those things, or to figure out if You're trying to teach us something in the midst of kind of a horrible time. May we never blame You for the loss of life and the other people going through problems. But instead, may we allow You the room to comfort us. May we feel Your presence in our midst, and may we also allow You to redeem it so that, not we learn a lesson, but so that glory is brought to You and to You alone. We praise You, God, in the midst of these situations that You can bring us through and we can feel Your comfort. God, for all of us here that are experiencing different things at different times, we ask Your blessing upon us. And in this holiday weekend, we ask that You keep us safe as we travel to see families and all of our friends and family from this church who are not here among us today. We ask that You bring them back safely to home when the time is coming. Be with us as we leave here today as empowered but protected people. We praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning, and come back next week. We're going to look at our goals versus God's will. God bless you. My enemy, I see my brother. I see my brother.
Question that I would like answered.
Yeah. Did you put it on the papers?
No.